1690 AM in Montreal.
It's Montreal and it's...
For CJLO News, I'm Zach Jutra. More than 8,000 workers in Montreal's film post-production industry are raising concerns about how the provincial government's last budget will affect the city's status as an international multimedia hub. They say changes to tax credits threaten their job security. On Saturday, hundreds of workers demonstrated in Old Montreal to pressure the Legault government to review its policy. They argue that film productions seek out the cheapest locations, and if Montreal is no longer competitive, the contracts will simply move to other provinces or countries. When announcing the cut, the provincial government argued that the tax credit had served its purpose by building an industry, but many argue that the industry cannot sustain itself without it. Drug manufacturer Novo Nordisk announced on Monday that many people with diabetes in Canada will soon be able to take insulin once a week instead of daily. The first once-a-week basal insulin injection in the world, insulin Icodec, will be sold under the brand name Aweekly and will be available across the country starting June 30th. Health Canada approved the product in March for the treatment of adults with type 1 and type 2 diabetes, making Canada the first country to receive it. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has not approved Aweekly. In May, its Endocrinology and Metabolic Drugs Advisory Committee concluded that more information is needed about the use of the Aweekly insulin in type 1 diabetes patients. Canada's drug agency, which assesses drugs and recommends whether they should qualify for reimbursement under public drug plans, estimates that Aweekly will cost more than $1,350 a year per patient. On its website, the agency recommends funding Aweekly for the treatment of type 2 diabetes with the condition that the price be lowered to match the least costly of the more frequent insulin injections. Gaza's government media office has accused Israel and the United States of purposely worsening famine-like conditions in Gaza by withholding humanitarian aid as a tool for political pressure. In a statement, they said, "Israel and the U.S. administration are deliberately aggravating the humanitarian situation in Gaza to achieve political goals." The media office said about 2.4 million Palestinians are living under extremely harsh circumstances, especially in Gaza's north, where famine has taken hold of the area. It added that tens of thousands of sick and wounded people have no access to food or medicine amid a continuation of the border closures. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify or CJLO 1690 AM on SoundCloud.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on the Tommy John Show on CJLO 1690 AM. I am your host, Tommy Lane. And it's Monday, so that means from 2 to 3 o'clock, you'll be the Tommy John Show, where we discuss everything going on in the world of sports. Hope everyone is having a great day. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous Monday, June the 17th. Hope everyone had a great Father's Day weekend. I know I did. We've been away for a few weeks from the program. I was over in Europe, and that was fantastic. Went to Ireland, went to Italy. Highly recommend to anyone who hasn't been. It is truly amazing. definitely be going back, looking forward to my next trip overseas. Unbelievable amount of sports to get into. We have the NBA Finals and the NHL Finals tonight. We have the Euro Cup starting. We had the U.S. Open over the weekend. We had the French Open 2 weeks ago and Wimbledon a few weeks away. And huge storylines in the National Football League, which we will get into. HBO announcing who will be on Hard Knocks. We'll get into all that over the next hour here on the Tommy John Show on CJLO 1690 AM. The NBA season could conclude tonight as the Boston Celtics are on their home floor looking to wrap up their 18th World Championship, their first since 2008. They are opening up as a 6.5-point favorite over the Dallas Mavericks. They looked lackadaisical on Friday night in Dallas looking to sweep the Mavericks. They got blown out by 40, 38 to be exact. But they're looking to bounce back, win tonight. They just need one game. And they haven't lost on their home floor in a while. So this is a big, big, big game, obviously, for the Celtics and the Mavericks. But you feel like if the Celtics lose this one, a lot of pressure is going to come on to them as it goes back to Dallas. Who knows? It's going to be crazy. Stanley Cup Finals. Man, was that a beating on Saturday night. Florida looking to sweep Edmonton 8-1. The Oilers respond. Just a dominant performance. They got to Bobrovsky. They got to him early. He got pulled halfway through the game. And if you look at that, he had 5 goals on 16 shots, only 11 saves. McDavid with 4 points. Dylan Holloway with 2 goals. Leon Draisaitl with 2 assists. Everyone showed up for the Oilers. And they're going to need that effort again tomorrow night as they head down to Florida trying to force a Game 6 in Edmonton, which would be played on Friday. Both of these series look dead in the water, and then 2 blowouts in both of them. The Mavericks blowing out the Celtics in Game 4 to avoid the sweep. The Oilers, that wasn't even a blowout. That was a dismantling, whatever you want to say, 8-1. My goodness. Now, there could be the, they want to win on the home floor, home ice. No, I don't believe that. I think Edmonton and Dallas played as hard as they've ever had. They don't want to get embarrassed. Don't want to get swept. But I'm telling you what, in hockey, it's much different than the NBA. I feel like it's never happened before in the finals, down 3-0, coming back. And I don't remember the last time in the playoffs. Remember the Celtics forced Game 7 against Miami last year being down 3-0 and they lost. Hockey, we've seen it before. We saw the Bruins blow a 3-0 lead in 2010, I believe. Was it San Jose a few years ago, came back 3-0? It happens. It's not uncommon. You know, so if Edmonton, if they win Game 5 and they go back to Edmonton, I mean, all the pressure's on Florida. All the pressure's on Florida. The Euro Cup kicked off on Thursday with the host Germany dismantling Scotland 5-1. As we quickly run through the table in Group A, Germany, Switzerland, both getting wins. Hungary and Scotland on the outs right now. In Group B, you have Spain, Italy, Albania, Croatia. Spain destroying Croatia 3-0. All 3 goals in the first half as well. Italy with a 2-1 win over Albania. Those two play Thursday, and which would be an unbelievable game between two heavyweights. They played in the Euros last time, Italy, I think, winning. Group C, England, comfortable 1-0 win over Serbia. I know it was only 1-0. They controlled a lot of the pace and the play, and that's probably going to be their toughest match. There's also Denmark and Slovenia who drew 1-1 in that one. In Group D, the Netherlands in first place. Austria playing France this afternoon. It was the other game in Group D. Poland losing to the Netherlands, obviously. But France and England were the two favorites. We're going to see Kylian Mbappe. We're going to see the rest of the French squad play in about an hour's time. By when the show wraps up, should be around kickoff for Austria and France. In Group E, Romania with a big win today over Ukraine. And maybe the surprise so far of the tournament, Belgium losing 1-0 to Slovakia. And I know there were some disallowed goals and all that stuff. Okay, fine. Still a huge win for Slovakia. Belgium, one of the other favorites coming in, losing their first game. And in Group F, which is yet to play tomorrow, Turkey, Georgia, Portugal, and Czechia. So that's where it stands right now. Like I said, the big game next week is going to be in that Group B with Spain and Italy, 3 o'clock Thursday. If you can get to Little Italy, if you can get to maybe a Spanish part of town. It's just when you get huge games like that, the Euros or the World Cup, it's truly awesome. And I can't wait. Can't wait to watch that match in all the games. Even Friday, you have the Netherlands and France. Another huge game. So the Euro Cup is really, really something else. But I know what else is gaining some popularity is the Copa America, North America, because Canada and the U.S. are in it. And Canada, you get to open up with Argentina on Thursday at 8 o'clock, which I'm telling you, they didn't get an easy group. Chile's a good squad. Don't know much about Peru, but I know Chile and Argentina are going to play well. I mean, we get the world champs. We get Messi in the world champs is the first game. That's going to be a good test to see where we actually are right now. Alphonso Davies named captain of Team Canada. Let's see. Maybe they can shock the world. I'll be watching. The other groups include Group B, Mexico, Ecuador, Venezuela, Jamaica. Group C has the United States, Uruguay, Panama, and Bolivia. And Group D, Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, and Costa Rica. Those are the groups in the Copa America. The U.S. Open played over the weekend, and Bryson DeChambeau has picked up his second United States Open title, a one-shot victory over Rory McIlroy. Rory with a two-shot lead at one point on the back nine, and he missed two short putts, one on, was it 16, and one on 18, that really cost him his U.S. Open title. I don't know how, again, you know, he puts himself in the position all the time at major championships. Finished second at the U.S. Open last year. He was second at the Open Championship at St. Andrews a few years ago. But this was by far his best chance. He had a two-shot lead on the 14th tee. And I know he parred 14, but DeChambeau birdied 13, and it was a one-shot lead. And then bogeys the par 3 15th. Bogey 16, makes a nice up and down on 17, but in a poor drive on 18, and he missed a decent, he had a decent chip, and it was a downhill putt he left himself with on 18, but to miss those two putts, a two-footer and a four-footer, he makes those two, he wins the golf tournament. Hopefully he bounces back. He's such a good ambassador for the game, one of the great players of our time. You know, he loves Royal Troon, and he loves the Scottish Open. Maybe this will... Not the Scottish Open, the Open Championship. He loves Scottish, Irish, links courses. This might be his best chance. But we shall see. We shall see. Congrats to Bryson DeChambeau and a great round by Tony Finau as well. One more major left in the year. So we had Scottie Scheffler winning at Augusta in April. Xander Schauffele winning last month at Valhalla. Now Bryson DeChambeau winning the United States Open. So I wonder if that will help progress things with Liv. You know, maybe cut a deal. You know, you had Koepka winning a major last year. DeChambeau is clearly one of the four or five best players right now in the world, for sure. Scheffler's on a different level. He had an off week. But Scheffler's on a different level. You have to put Schauffele, DeChambeau, and McIlroy right now. I know Rory, that was a bad back nine. Not even a bad back nine. He birdied a bunch of holes to start the back nine. But he's still obviously one of the three to four best players in the world, for sure. He'll be back. I have no problem saying that. We have Wimbledon in a few weeks, which is the last thing we're going to discuss before previewing our next topic about the NFL. Carlos Alcaraz winning that one, and he's playing in Queens, the Queens Club. So that should be fun. Wimbledon in a few weeks. Novak Djokovic's injury still lingering. Hopefully he can be there. We'd love to see him. You know, Sinner and Alcaraz and Zverev, they're all playing great. But it's a bit different when you have Novak Djokovic there. So hopefully he heals up and plays well. So we're going to get into a quick break and come back and preview the NBA Finals game tonight. Can the Celtics wrap it all up? And also, can the Oilers force a Game 6 back home in Edmonton? And Tommy's picks for the NFL? Part 2? All that coming up on the next hour here of the Tommy John Show. Back after these quick words from our sponsors.
Hello?
The 24th edition of Simone per Il Popolo stirs things up June 13th to the 23rd. Experimental, punk, jazz, noise, weirded out sounds, a film series, workshops, all jammed into 12 days to throw some fun and inspiration at our messed up world. Anthony Braxton and Wolf Eyes, Backwash, Irreversible Entanglements, Geneva Jacuzzi, and so much more. Full lineup and information about day passes and tickets can be found on simoniperilpopolo.org or follow us at simoniperilpopolo.
Stay tuned to CJLO 1690, Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon, for Montreal's most diversified gospel show, Gospel Unlimited. Join Ray, Tanisha, and Curtis as they take you on a musical journey and share stimulating conversations along the way. Don't miss it. Saturday mornings, 10 to noon, Gospel Unlimited.
Back here on the Tom and John Show. So like we mentioned, NBA Finals, NHL Finals, looking like sweeps, and now we got two Game 5s. And I gotta tell you, I cannot, you know, I feel like blowouts in the NBA happen sometimes, you know, you get a team that catches fire. And it gets like a 15-point, then a 20-point, and then you just kind of mail it in. That Oilers game, my God. Bobrovsky was standing on his head. And I know they scored two late ones on Thursday night in Game 3 to try and make it a game. But they went from scoring one goal through the first, eight periods? Two games, and so they scored two goals in eight periods. And then in their last four periods, they've scored 10. They scored two in the third of Game 3, and then they scored 8 on Saturday night. Now, we can say, oh, they solved Bobrovsky. That could actually be the most realistic opportunity. Like, yeah, okay, you have bad games sometimes. But they started just throwing pucks in the net, much more aggressive. And you can argue Edmonton could be up in this series. I mean, they totally outplayed them. Obviously, they won 8-1. But games 1 and 3, they were a much better team than Florida, at least in my opinion. They had more shots on net. You know, were aggressive. And then, you know, Stuart Skinner just wasn't the par. And if you look at that second period in Game 3, Stuart Skinner, my God, can we get a save? He comes out of the net, misplays it. And on my last show, which was went now 2-3 weeks ago, I mentioned the big fear for me with the Oilers wasn't going to be scoring goals. It was going to be, can Stuart Skinner make some saves? And there are, I know some of the breakaways were a bit tough, like that he allowed the goals on. The second goal, all his fault. I'm not saying that. But then people are like, oh, you're being harsh. Sometimes you just need a save. The amount of times where Florida was just caught sleeping and Bobrovsky made these unbelievable saves. You know, you just need a save. And Stuart Skinner, for the first three games, was not giving them timely saves. You know, you have a breakdown, breakaway. I knew every chance Florida had in that second period, I knew the puck was going in. Nothing against, I'm sure Stuart Skinner's a great guy. He tries hard. He puts a lot of time and effort in. But he's not an elite goaltender. And then, you know, I just cannot believe that second period. The Edmonton ties the game. It's 1-1. The building's rocking. And then that little stretch of, I don't know how many goals, or those three goals, what, 5-6 minutes? That was the game. He comes out to play the puck, totally misplays it. Tarasenko's wide open in front, Florida scores. Then there was the breakaway. I mean, it was laughable. I got to tell you, Edmonton could easily be up 3-1 in this series right now. Easily. Like, not even a question. Game 1, thought they were the better team. Game 3, that third period, and I know, even the first period, I found they were all over them. I thought they were the better team, except for 5-6 minutes in Game 3. And then last night, on Saturday night, clearly they won 8-1. But I'm telling you, this could be 3-1 Edmonton. It really could be. But, you know, that's hockey. It's one of the few sports where the better team doesn't always win. If you're the better tennis player on that game, that match, you're probably going to win. If you're the best golfer on the weekend, you're probably going to win. If you're the best basketball team, you're probably going to win. Baseball, probably going to win. Football, most of the time. Hockey, you could totally outplay a team. And if you have a goalie stand on your head, that's it. And Bobrovsky was doing that for the first three games. Even the end of Game 3, he lets in those two goals. Edmonton had a gorgeous chance to tie it. I think it was McLeod in front. And Bobrovsky made a great save. Timely saves, which Stuart Skinner has not given the Oilers so far. Now, last game, they explode for 8 goals, and Skinner makes some decent saves. I mean, it didn't really matter. That's a game where you can let in a few of them. Who cares if you win 8-5 or 8-1? It doesn't really matter. You score 8 goals, you'll be fine. But Stuart Skinner needs to play better if they want any chance, if they want to create history. No team since 1942, I believe, have come down from 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals, and that was the Toronto Maple Leafs. In 1942, the world was at war in 1942. FDR was president in 1942. That's how long ago this is. But the Oilers have the firepower. They have everything you want except between the pipes. They got good. I think Bouchard has proven to be an elite defenseman. Ekholm has been fantastic. Nurse played maybe his best game in a while on Saturday. They can get him going. And then you had Connor McDavid explode for 4 points. You had Draisaitl play unbelievable. Then you have the role players and Holiday and Fogle. Everyone was showing up. And there's another stat I saw that under Chris Knobloch, since he was hired in November, anytime they have followed up a three-game losing streak has been with like a crazy winning streak. I think it was 8 games. Then there was that ridiculous 16-game winning streak, and I think a 5-game winning streak after losing 3. So they're due. They just got to win 3 more. If they win tomorrow night and they bring it back to Edmonton, man, do we got a series. Where with the Celtics, they've been so close with this group for so long. Since Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were babies, they've been in conference finals. Then they finally broke through in 2022, made the finals, just lost to Steph Curry going insane. And albeit Tatum played maybe the worst basketball of his career in that series, he was nowhere to be found. If you be honest, Al Horford and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown were much better in the finals than Jason Tatum was in 2022. But if you look at how Brad Stevens, and I got to give Brad Stevens an enormous amount of credit. I know Danny Ainge draft Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but we've had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for a while now. But this team is different. And the two key moves that really, really, really changed everything for the Boston Celtics didn't even involve them. It involved Milwaukee trying to get Damian Lillard. And people might think, why does that matter? I'll get into it. And the Celtics not trying to trade for Damian Lillard. Those are the two moves. Now, for the whole offseason, I heard The Celtics are trying to trade for Damian Lillard. They want him. They need. We'll even throw in Jaylen Brown. He can't dribble. We'll send Portland Jaylen Brown and picks and Brogdon, and we'll get Damian Lillard. If the Celtics would have pulled off that trade, they would not be in the finals. They would have to give up depth, and Damian Lillard's 30-something years old. They would have blown up a lot of their core to maybe win a championship. But with Milwaukee trading for Damian Lillard, they had to give up this little piece named Drew Holiday, sending him to Portland. And everyone knew, well, Drew Holiday's not going to stay in Portland. They're one of the worst teams in the league. Hello, open for business. And the Celtics send, what, a draft pick? Malcolm Brogdon, Robert Williams for Drew Holiday? If Milwaukee does not make that trade, Drew Holiday's still on the Bucks. And who knows if the Celtics are in the finals? But I'll be pretty damn sure they wouldn't have a 3-1 lead. Game 2 was the Drew Holiday game. He went 11 of 14 from the field. He was hitting every three. That's one of the key moves. And also, if the Celtics just traded for Damian Lillard, we wouldn't have the best player, in my opinion, so far in the finals in Jaylen Brown. The best player in the Eastern Conference Finals. Who was it? Jaylen Brown. Just because people have bad off seasons or bad stretches doesn't mean you have to give up on them. Damian Lillard is in his 30s, and yes, he can be clutch and he can go nuclear, but we saw this experiment in Milwaukee so far, and I know Giannis was hurt. But were the Bucks a better team after the Damian Lillard trade, or were they a worse team? On paper, you have Giannis Antetokounmpo and you have Damian Lillard. That's all you need, right? But they lost a lot of defense. And Drew Holiday, people can complain about missing Marcus Smart, sending him to Memphis. Drew Holiday is a better player, a much better player than Marcus Smart. And I love Marcus Smart. He was on the Celtics forever. Dyed his hair green, embraced the Celtics culture. I know how great of a player Marcus Smart was. He's not Drew Holiday. Marcus Smart was never an all-star. Drew Holiday's, what, a 3-4-time all-star? He won Defensive Player of the Year. Right now, he's not as good as a defensive player as Drew Holiday. Oh, he could hit clutch shots, though, near the end of the game, Marcus Smart. Drew Holiday has hit some insanely clutch shots. He's a better shooter. He's a better defender. And the Celtics locking him up for 4 years. Here it's an overpay. How is it an overpay to pay a 4-time All-Star who's a lead on defense, hits clutch shots? You already have Jaylen Brown locked up. You're about to lock up Tatum. I would assume he's going to get the max deal. Porzingis is under contract for, what, 2 more years? I think he signed a 3-year deal. And that's another underrated trade. I've always loved Kristaps Porzingis, the player. And when you hear the trade that the Celtics pulled off to get him, okay, you had to ship out Marcus Smart, you had to ship out a few seconds, but you got, what, a first and Porzingis? Because no one wanted, Washington want Porzingis' contract? Are you kidding me? What? Porzingis is an all-star caliber player. He was supposed to be the face of New York Knicks. He was traded to Dallas to be Doncic's number two, to be the wingman. And not to just be a wingman to back him up, like to be his all-star caliber wingman. They wanted to recreate Nash and Dirk. That's what they wanted to do in Dallas. And who was the guy they picked originally to be Luka's running mate? Kristaps Porzingis. And then, okay, you wanted to get Dinwiddie, you wanted to get shooting. A few years ago, you had to give up Porzingis and injuries hadn't been kind to him. Okay, fair. And you could absolutely say injuries are a problem with Porzingis. He's missed, what, rounds 2 and 3? And he got hurt again, but he's trying to play through it. But just that little 20 minute of impact in game one by Porzingis, that was one of the best 20 minute stretches I've ever seen. He spaces the floor out for everyone, even just him standing in the corner and blocking shots on the defensive end. That'll work. But the main thing I'm telling you, Brad Stevens, everyone on sports media was pressuring him to trade for Damian Lillard. Everyone was saying, oh, why Porzingis, injury prone, what are you doing that for? Everyone hated those trades. Him not trading for Damian Lillard allowed Milwaukee to do it, had to give up Drew Holiday, Boston swoops in, gives up, speaking of injury prone, Malcolm Brogdon, speaking of injury prone, Robert Williams, and a few draft picks for Drew Holiday. And then they lock up Drew Holiday to a four-year deal right before the postseason. And you can say 4 years, $140 million? Who cares? If you have, for the next 3 years, Brown, Tatum, Holiday, Porzingis, you should be fine. And I'm sure Derek White would love to stay in Boston too. I don't know when his contract's up, but he's been stellar as well. And Al Horford, I know he's, what, 37, 38 years old. He's done his part. But even as, and I love Derek White, and that was another beautiful trade by Brad Stevens. Derek White has been fantastic. But if you have Tatum, you have Brown, Porzingis, and Holiday for the next 3 years, the Celtics are going to be in the conference finals, probably the NBA finals for the next 3 years. That's just a fact. I'm sorry. That is an absolute fact. Now, injuries come into play, and I know there's teams like, oh, Philly's going to load up, and Miami's going to load up, and Milwaukee, I mean, Giannis is going to be healthy. Okay, fine. I'm not saying they win the title every year or make the finals every year. But the core they have, you never know. Derek White has another year on his contract. And he's going to get a lot of money in free agency. So they might lose Derek White, but you have him for next year too. So this is an unbelievable opportunity for the Celtics to win two championships back to back. And I know there's still Denver, and I know Dallas will make, I'm not writing off the Mavericks either, but I'm saying if they just play up to par tonight, they should win the title. And if a week from now I'm on this show and they haven't done it and the Mavs force a game seven and win a championship, this will be the biggest blown opportunity ever. And you can't fault Brad Stevens for it. Trade Jaylen Brown for Damian Lillard, everyone said. Porzingis is injury prone. You tell me that Derek White trade a few years ago is not one of the great trades? They gave like a bag of peanuts for Derek White. Come on. That Damian Lillard trade alone. And when I heard it happened initially, I was like, oh my God, Giannis and Damian Lillard. And on, if you go back on the Tommy John Show Instagram, I commented, I was in class and I saw the notification right when I was leaving class that Dame got traded to the Bucks. And in that video, I said, man, are they going to be lethal? But what did I say as a Celtics fan? I said, Boston, this is where you make a move and you get Drew Holiday. I said that. It is on the Tommy John Show Instagram in when? September, October, whenever that trade went down. I said, you got to make that trade. Sure enough, they make that trade. I thought it was going to cost them way more than what it did. You know, I like Malcolm Brogdon. I like Robert Williams, but they are always hurt. and a few draft picks. And everyone knows the NBA, draft picks, who cares? There's two rounds. Who cares? You know, we're not picking anywhere near the front of the draft anyway. We're picking far from it. I'm telling you, Brad Stevens did an unbelievable job building this team. I think he's one of the best executives in the league. It's like he was an unbelievable basketball coach. He was taking teams with Isaiah Thomas to the finals. The conference finals, my bad. Think about that year we traded for Kyrie Irving. He was hurt in the playoffs. We had a baby in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Al Horford played great. I'm not saying that. We made it to the finals. We made conference finals. And we took LeBron and the Cavs to game 7. What's he do? He lets Al Horford go away to Philadelphia, signs a huge deal in Philadelphia. And then that doesn't go well for the Sixers. He gets traded down to Oklahoma City. And then randomly, the Celtics are like, oh, well, why don't we take Al Horford off your hands at a discount, Oklahoma City, if you're just trying to unload things. Just beautiful GM practice from Brad Stevens. No, he knew Al Horford wasn't worth whatever the hell the Sixers were going to pay him. So what does he do? He waits till he gets traded to Oklahoma City. And they work out the finances, get to Al Horford at a discount on the salary cap. He loved Al Horford, not for $30-something million dollars a year. Not that much. Now he's playing on a much cheaper deal for the Celtics. Oklahoma City's still picking up some of that contract. It's just beautiful GM work. Beautiful. And would I have liked to win the championship in Dallas on Friday, sweeping the Mavericks? Sure. Absolutely. But that'd be pretty sweet to win it on home court. Tonight. Just win it tonight. Right? Wouldn't it be a bit sweeter to win it at home court? Now, I'm not saying they threw the game. They laid an egg and they played bad, but that's going to happen. They hadn't lost in like a month. Like, think about it. It was 1-1 against the Cavs in round 2. Win 3 in a row. So they're on a 10-game winning streak. They won 3 in a row against the Cavs. Swept Indiana. Won the first 3 games of the NBA Finals. And the excuse that the media had for picking the Mavericks. And don't get me wrong. I think Luka Doncic is one of the top 3 players in the NBA. I think it's Jokic, Giannis, and Luka. Those would be the 3 best to me. But everyone's telling me, oh my God, the Celtics, I mean, they're not battle tested. Everyone, Stephen A., I love Stephen A., picked the Mavericks. Tim Legler, all these people picked the Mavericks. I'm telling you, they got to respect the Celtics now. And do I think Jason Tatum's as good as everyone makes him out to be? No. I think he's a fine regular season player, and he's on a just privilege to be on the Celtics. He's a very good defender. He is an all-NBA kind of a player. Do I think he's that much better than Jaylen Brown as a guy who watches every Celtics game he can, even in the regular season? No. I think Jaylen Brown is incredibly underrated for what he is. He's a 25, 26 point per game player and clutch too. There have been times, even game 2 is a perfect example. Game 3 is a perfect example. Jason Tatum comes out hot in game 3. And then who took the game over in the second half? It was Jaylen Brown. In game 2 of the finals, Tatum could not hit the ocean off an aircraft carrier. What was he? He was ridiculous. He shot like 20-something percent. Who showed up? Jrue Holiday showed up and Jaylen Brown showed up. When in doubt, you can nitpick him, say he's not the best dribbler, not the best ball handler. He is an unbelievable defender, athletic freak, all-star caliber player. And people freaked out when he got that contract. He is a top 15 player in the NBA. And that's the going rate for those contracts. I know he's getting $60 million a year. But having him, and we're going to lock up Tatum, having those two for the next 5 to 7 years, and you locked up Drew Holiday, and you locked up Porzingis, and Derek White has another year left, the Celtics, man, if they get this championship, if they win tonight, they could be set up for a sustained run here. Now, I don't know what Derek White and Porzingis are going to do when they hit free agency, if they have a few rings by then, or even just one ring. Do they want to stay in Boston, continue chasing championships, or do they want to get a bag somewhere else? That I do not know. But while you got this team assembled, man, this is a golden opportunity. Golden. And who knows, if you win this one, all the pressure's off Tatum and Brown. They finally got their championship. Maybe they blossom into another level of stratosphere of a player. Who knows? That's a huge game tonight. It really, really is. And I'm scared. If they lose this one, you know, some doubt creeps in. 3-2 going back to Dallas. You don't want to get Luka and Kyrie hot because they're lethal together. So we shall see. If you ask me right now who's a better chance of coming back from 3-1 down, I think you always got to go with hockey. You always got to, just because goaltending, you never know. If Skinner gets hot for the next three games, Edmonton win the cup. You know, that's how it happens. So you put a gun to my head, who has a better chance down 3-1 to win a championship? The Mavericks against the Celtics or the Oilers versus the Panthers? I think I got to go Oilers. Just because it's hockey. And when you have McDavid and Draisaitl, you never know. And that might be hard overhead as well. Who knows? But I think Edmonton, if they win Game 5, man. Even for the Celtics, okay, you lose Game 5 tonight, I'm still confident they'll win the series. I am. Now, if they lose Game 6, it goes to Game 7, and I'm nervous because all the pressure's on the Celtics. But I feel like if Edmonton win Game 5, some doubt might creep in Florida. That's just me. We're getting to a quick ad, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to do some NFL predictions. I started doing it last show, but we have to get cut off early because of the hour. We'll do it here next on the Tommy John Show. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Relatif au contenu. Ce message de 50 secondes parle de la violence de partenaires intimes. Femmes averties est un organisme à but non lucratif qui assiste et soutient des survivantes de violences conjugales de partenaires intimes. On a une ligne d'écoute, un programme de mentorat, des groupes de soutien et on peut offrir des références pour des services externes. Notre assemblée générale aura lieu le 15 juin à midi par Zoom. On encourage des survivantes et ceux qui travaillent dans le domaine d'intervention ou soutien d'assister à l'événement. Nos bénévoles sont au cœur de notre travail. Pour vous renseigner ou collaborer avec nous, visitez notre site web womenaware.ca. Femmes averties est organisée par des survivantes pour des survivantes.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
I'm going to make them an offer again with you.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema?
Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m.
Only on CJLO 1690 a.m. in Montreal with your hosts Remy
and Danny.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
The Lake Charles, Louisiana, little Bessie girl I once knew, and she told
back here on the Tommy John Show. So we are just over a month away from NFL training camps. Late July is when they start. And I haven't officially hit the withdrawal. I miss it, but the NBA and NHL playoffs and the Euro Cup and the tennis and the golf, okay, that's getting me through it now. But we got a week left. Even if they go to game sevens of hockey and basketball, then that's gone. I love baseball, so that will help. But the football withdrawals are going to hit pretty soon. And it's kind of, it's lingering, but, you know, the playoffs are taking my mind off it. Okay. But when those are done, and when the Euro Cup's done, I'm going to be, man, when the hell does the NFL start? I had it a bit in February because you're so used to the NFL and college football. It's on every weekend, and you love it. And then it's just gone. And then you're in, like, the dog days of the NHL and NBA. It's like, okay, when are the playoffs starting? Well, you still got, like, 2 and a bit months. Oh, my God. And you have to watch the terrible All-Star game for both sports. It's like, oh, it's just a terrible time. You know, you're not even in the major season in golf. There's not even major season in tennis. That's a really bad time. Like, mid-February till April. You're just looking, like, I mean, you watch your teams, okay, fair enough. You watch the hockey games, watch the basketball, okay, yeah, but it's like regular season. If your team's safely in a playoff spot at that point, I mean, it's just like, what are we doing? Where is the NFL? And it's, you know, we're getting there slowly. I don't want to wish the summer away because I love summer. The weather's great. Get my golf in. But, you know, in a few weeks, I'll be like, all right, let's start this NFL thing pretty darn soon. Especially as a Patriots fan, we have this whole Drake May mystery. You know, you have, is Gerard Mayo going to be a good coach? The amount of storylines you have in the NFL is crazy. Aaron Rodgers, actually, will he last the season with the Jets? You know, you have a whole bunch of huge storylines. The Chiefs going for 3 in a row. Burrow's healthy. You know, what's Josh Allen going to look like without Stephon Diggs? They got Keon Coleman from Florida State. I mean, there's so many storylines. And even, it's that every year. But the NFL, after free agency and after the draft, like to set the win-loss bets. What's the over-under for wins for teams in the NFL? So we're going to look at them now. They came out a few weeks ago. And I'm going to tell you if I think a team goes over or under for wins this year in the National Football League. Remember, I tried guessing after Super Bowl who I like are the favorites, but I couldn't really say. There's still free agency, still trades. There's the draft. Yeah, we knew Caleb Williams was going to the Bears, but I didn't know if Jaden Daniels or Drake May were going to Washington or New England. Had no clue. So here we go. We're going to get into the over-under totals for the NFL. I'm going to tell you if I think this team goes under, if this team goes over. So here we go. Going to put the NFL primetime music on, and away we go. So these are all according to FanDuel. Let's start in the AFC East with my New England Patriots. 4.5 is the total over-under win. I'm not used to hearing that for the Patriots. 11.5 was the floor when Tom Brady was there. 4.5. And I think I think the Patriots could win 5 games. That defense is really good. This might be heart over head. The offense is still going to stink, but at least they have an offensive coordinator now. They invested in the receiving core a bit. 4.5, they're not going to win more than 7, but I think they'll win more. They won 4 games last year, and that defense will play great. I'm going to say over. but not by much. I'll go slightly over 4.5 for the Patriots. I think 5-12 is where they're around right now. The New York Jets, 9.5. Man, that's a good number. I'm going to take the under. I think if Aaron Rodgers plays the full season and he is who he was the last few years before the injury, I mean, he won 2 MVPs and he had a bit of a down year, but he still wasn't that bad of a season. If he's that Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, I think, are winning 10, 11 games, chilling. But I don't, there's too many distractions right now. Is this might change if I see a few preseason snaps. As of right now, I'm going to take under 8-9 wins, though. I don't know if they get to 10. The Miami Dolphins at 9.5, I will take the over. I think the Dolphins are going to win 10, 11 games. They'll start off quick like last year. Mike McDaniel is one of the great offensive minds in the NFL. Their defense played much better down the stretch. They didn't let Dallas do too much damage to them on Christmas. Even that cold game against the Chiefs, I was worried about that defense. It was the offense that didn't show up, really. I'll go 10-7, 11-6 is what I'm seeing for the Miami Dolphins. Lastly, the Buffalo Bills, 10.5. Everyone's selling on the Bills. I don't think the Bills are going to be as bad as everyone thinks they are. Josh Allen is that good. And a full offseason with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. 10.5 seems like a really good number. I'll take the over. I think the Bills go around 11-6. If Josh, 10-7, 11-6 is my prediction for the Bills. So it's right on that number. I'll go over because I think Josh Allen's that good. We'll head to the AFC North. The Cincinnati Bengals at 10.5. If Joe Burrow's healthy, I am taking the over. If he's not, I'm taking the under. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But they won games with Jake Browning. T. Higgins is coming back. Jamar Chase is probably going to get his big contract this offseason. They invested in the offensive line. I'm taking the over with the Cincinnati Bengals. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 8.5. Obviously, I'm taking the over. The Steelers don't do sub-500. Now, they might go 9-7-1, 8-8-1. They ain't going 8-9. So I'm taking the over. The Steelers, that defense is too good. They'll have Russell Wilson game manage to start the year, but eventually I think Justin Fields will take over. I mean, I got to take the over there at 8.5. Some sportsbooks have it at 7.5. On FanDuel, it's 8.5. I am taking the over with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Baltimore Ravens are all the way at 10.5. They'll win 10 games. I'll take the over, but I don't think they'll do anything in the playoffs. Their defense is too good. Lamar Jackson's a very good regular season quarterback. They'll win more than 10 games, but I don't have them winning the Super Bowl like everyone else does. No chance. The last team, the Cleveland Browns at 8.5. This is by far the best division in football. I'm going to take the under, though. I know their defense is great, but Deshaun Watson has not impressed me. Their defense can win them 6-7 games, but this is the division where everyone can go over 500, but I have to take one under, so I'll take the Browns. Even though they got a great defense, Deshaun Watson has not been the same. And they got destroyed in that playoff game by Houston. My God. Speaking of Houston, we'll move to the AFC South. The Houston Texans at 9.5. I'll take the over. CJ Stroud, why not? Another year with D'Amico Ryans in that defense. I'll take the over with the Houston Texans. The Indianapolis Colts at 8.5. That's a really good number. Oh, man. They almost made the playoffs last year with Gardner Minshew. And I love Shane Steichen. I love the Colts. I'm going to take the over at 8.5. I think they're a 9-10 win team. The Jacksonville Jaguars, 8.5. I'll take the over. And the Tennessee Titans. Nah, I'm going to take the under on that one. They have the Titans right around 6.5. Do not like the Titans at all. Do not like, I mean, don't know much about the new coordinator, the new coach, sorry, who's the coordinator in Cincinnati. Will Levis, I think, has shown promise. I think they picked J.C. Latham in the draft. But just not, I mean, they have pieces, but I think a 6-win team for the Tennessee Titans. The AFC South, so much improved. Though a year ago, we were talking about how much of a dumpster fire was. We found out C.J. Stroud is elite, and Anthony Richardson has superstar potential. And Trevor Lawrence just got the biggest contract in the NFL. So, love the drafting of Brian Thomas Jr. too by the Jaguars. Great receiver from LSU. Think to go over. Last in the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, 11.5. Yeah, I'll take the over. They're Super Bowl champions. Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelsey, good defense. I'll take the over. They're probably going to be the one seed. Maybe with Cincinnati or Baltimore. Those with me are the three teams look out for. Oakland Raiders. The Las Vegas Raiders, 6.5. I'm going to take the under. Just Minshew, their defense is really good. The reason I'm saying that is because Max Crosby and a bunch of other great players in the defensive end. They had a good draft. Still, I'm going to take the under. Even though I love Brock Bowers, love Michael Mayer, I'm going to take the under. The Denver Broncos at 5.5. I think they'll win more than 5. I think Russell Wilson was just putrid. And Bo Nix can just play within the Sean Payton offense. The defense, when you have Surtain and all these other great players on defense, they'll win football games. It's a Sean Payton coach team. I'm not saying they're making the playoffs, but at 5.5 wins, I'll take the over. The Chargers at 8.5. You know what? Jim Harbaugh, all he does is win. I'll take the 8, and I'll take the over. Justin Herbert, they took the McConkey kid, the receiver from Georgia. They picked, my opinion, the best player in the draft, and Joe Ault at left tackle. They have Slater. They have Ault. They improved the running game. And the amount of games the Chargers had that Brandon Staley just blew for them is crazy. Jim Harbaugh is one of the great coaches in football. We saw it in the NFL. We saw it at Michigan. We saw it at Stanford before that. I'll take the over with the Chargers. Lastly, in the AFC, we have to go. Well, what was it? That was the last for the AFC, my bad. We started the NFC. The New York Giants, 6.5. Under. Daniel Jones, I'm just not liking the Giants right now. 6.5. I love Dable. Love what they have going for him. Love Neighbors. Thibodeau's been great. Dexter Lawrence, yeah, I got it. The Giants have a lot of good pieces. I just think it's going to be under. I'm not a huge fan of that quarterback room at all. I'll take the under. The Dallas Cowboys, 10.5. I'm taking the under. And it's really close. They win 10 games a year anyway, 10-11, and just vomit. But people thought they had a good year last year. I think they only won 11 games. I don't think they're as good this year. I'll take the under at 10.5. The Philadelphia Eagles at 10.5. I'll take the under as well. I know they got Saquon Barkley. They got all these great players. They didn't improve the secondary. They lost some bit. I don't know about Jalen Hurts, though. The more I see Jalen Hurts without Shane Steichen, I get worried. They're going to win the... I'm not saying they're not going to win the East, the NFC East. I just think, you know what? They'll go the under. Washington Commanders, 6.5. I'll take the under. I'm not a huge Dan Quinn guy. Jane Daniels looks good. Okay, fine. But still, just not for me. That's it for this week. We'll do the rest of the over-unders next week. We still got the South, West, and North to do in the NFC, but we are short for time, so we will get back to this next week. I'm Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back next Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CJLO 1690 a.m. Thank you so much for listening, and we will speak next week.
Thank you.